Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the deep fryer of free speech, because you can throw in some curly potatoes, and the next thing you know, you've got curly French fries. And that's what free speech is all about. You probably didn't know that. Most people don't know that, but that's what it's all about. And to keep the free speech going, what do they do, Jeremy?
You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN. Send that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in your debit or credit card number to Julie on the day shift, Mike on the night shift, and Sam on the weekend shift. They'll gladly take your money. Also, PayPal is a viable option to donate. You can do all this by smashing that donate button. To keep free speech alive.
How should they smash it?
With extreme prejudice. Is there any other way?
There's no other way.
And if you want to keep your potatoes frying great in that deep fryer, throw a little olive oil and some salt, sprinkle some salt and some Tony's Creole, and you'll have Cajun fried potatoes in about 15 minutes to go with your martini.
Hey, that's the only way to have a martini. Shaken, not stirred, and with Cajun fries on the side.
Yeah, but it's stirred, not shaken. Sorry, James Bond.
I've never had a martini in my life, so I wouldn't even know. Okay, so this is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show. And, you know, on the part one, we were talking a lot about Nancy Pelosi and whatnot. Because this isn't going to be aired for another, like, 14 hours, and a lot could happen in the next 14 hours, if you want to know what we had to think about, what had to say about Taiwan, just go to yesterday's show. We're going to move on to some other things, notwithstanding the fact that Nancy Pelosi is a crazy old bat. You know, that has to be established. But otherwise, you've got some prep that you sent, and there was one story that I wanted to get to first. So why don't we get to that one first?
Yeah, I mean, so there's an attack in Akron, Ohio, and we covered it a little bit on last week. A young white boy was traveling with some other mixed boys, and they did a little prank on some black individuals playing in a ball court, shot some paintballs at them. We don't really know the full extent to how these people all knew each other, but I mean, apparently there was some sort of relation. But anyway, three black individuals beat 17-year-old Ethan Liming of Akron down. They beat him to death, stomping in his chest. And it seems like, according to this Breitbart article and many others that I pulled up to verify, that these three black individuals are going to avoid murder charges in this grand jury indictment. And, I mean, that's, this is black, this is BLM, summer of BLM 2.0 going on here, where it seems like that black thugs can just, have their way. In the case of BLM riots, they can riot and burn cities down. And in this case, they can beat a 17-year-old down. It's not only is it not a hate crime, but they're going to avoid murder charges. So just go ahead, Patrick.
Well, okay. So we did talk about this a few weeks ago when it, The news now is that they're going to avoid murder charges, but we were talking about this a few weeks ago when it was relatively recent news. Now, you said something interesting, and this was I wanted to ask you about this. You said his name was Ethan Liming, and Ethan Liming, the white kid, you said he was with his mixed friends. What did you mean by mixed friends?
Well, they were people of color. I don't know to what extent they're mixed. A lot of black people are mixed. You don't have a lot of African-Americans that are just, pure black from the African continent. Mm-hmm. they were, he was with others that were not purely white. And they didn't seem to be involved in the attack. Again, the details are a little shady, but I mean, Ethan got beat down. They didn't.
So this is what I wanted to ask about, because this has been what I've been trying to investigate. I've spent, you know, I was before the show, when I was just going through your prep, I was trying to investigate this. And at some point in the past, I was trying to investigate, because I thought I had heard that Ethan was with his black friends. And I wanted to get some sort of confirmation, because if this is going to be spun as if like a group of white kids started attacking blacks who misunderstood, they didn't know it was like a toy gun. And it wasn't, I don't even know if it's really even technically paintball or something like a step down. It's some sort of gun you get at Walmart. They call it, what do they call it? Water gel or something.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it could be spun as if there was kind of like a low grade yet still racist attack on the an unprovoked attack on these three blacks who were playing basketball by white troublemakers. But if indeed, this is what I'm trying to find out, if the kids in the car, the other kids in the car were black, and Ethan may have been the only white kid, and if these black kids knew the black guys who were playing basketball, who weren't quite kids, they were above 18, and by the way, very, very dark-skinned, which, you know, tend, because you were mentioning the mixed aspect of American blacks, those with very, very dark skin tend to have the most African ancestry, for what it's worth. But if these were black kids who were actually starting things with other black kids, they just had their white friend around them, and then the white friend, who I guess thought he was, you know, being cool with his black friends, wound up being the one picked out and targeted and beaten to death. That's totally like a racist attack. And, you know, we don't even know to what extent that Ethan was, I mean, if he was riding around with people who were, and if this is like a water gel gun, it is kind of like still within the realm of teenage hijinks, right? It's not really an attack. Maybe it was a hijinks that was misunderstood as an attack. But so, are there any other details that you can give? And I understand that the Right Stuff was covering this over the weekend, and I was curious as to what kind of information they have.
Yeah, on Fascination, you know, they indicated that they had information that the friends of Ethan were, you know, brown people of color. I'm searching the headlines to get some photographs or, you know, something to 100% verify that.
I've been searching. I've done, you know, searches for Ethan Liming's friends, and right. I get nothing.
So let's put it like this. I mean, if this happened in Kentucky, let's just say, let's paint another scenario. A small town in Kentucky, you know, five white boys in a jacked up Chevy pickup truck with rebel flags, you know, in the bed, flying proudly. And they went and attacked, or they shot paintballs as a prank at a group of blacks playing basketball. You know, it still wouldn't justify the murder of a teenage boy just for, you know, paintballs. Right. Or whatever these things were, water pellets, or whatever you want to call them. You know, it's not a deadly weapon. You know, you could see maybe where you could see some racial tension there, but that certainly wasn't the case here. This seemed to be a group of people, you know, who Ethan was with. I mean, obviously his friends, you know, they weren't targeted, nor necessarily were they, they tried to, the articles that I read said that they tried to de-escalate the situation, but they weren't targeted at all. I mean, it was five against three. You know, Ethan had four friends and three blacks. I mean, you would think that this could be handled, you know, maybe in a regular old teenage fist fight, but that wasn't the case.
I mean, yeah.
Ethan was brutally murdered, mm-hmm. and the others didn't do nothing. Is that, I mean, am I out of line to say that? I mean, I can't imagine being with a group of friends and one of my friends being beat down and just standing by. They wouldn't get to that point. I can assure you that.
Yeah, and so who knows? And who knows? Like, how well did Ethan know these kids? Now, Ethan, he was obviously on a football team because we see pictures of him in his football uniform. And were these black kids that he was with, were they, you know, was it the wide receivers on his football team? I don't know. And we're not getting that kind of information. One thing, though, that I think I'd like to comment on is, you know, the fact that Ethan was stomped to death, right? He was stomped to death. He had a footprint or boot print or whatever. I guess it would have been a footprint because you don't play basketball in boots, but he would have had a footprint in his chest, right? And yes. And there are reports that his head was being stomped on. And if you watch, and I haven't watched it for years because he got banned from YouTube so many times, but he's still on other outlets. And Colin Flaherty, he's got his channel where he just plays a lot of videos from either local news sources or from, you know, Hip Hop World Star, you know, videos that blacks upload themselves. And it's so common when blacks fight, especially when it's like kind of a mob of blacks attacking one person. And it doesn't matter whether the attackers are male or female. They stomp, you know, like the ethic in amongst white people is you don't kick a man when he's down. But amongst blacks, time and time again in these videos, you see somebody on the ground and then the boys or girls around them stomping. And last thing, I just want to contrast this with the guys from Charlottesville. His name slips my mind all of a sudden. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Shante Harris or something? DeAndre Harris?
DeAndre Harris was the black that beat the old man with a maglite. And then white boys came to the old man's defense.
These white boys came to the old man's defense. And I feel shame at not being able to remember at least one of their names. I usually do. But they knocked him down, and while he was on the ground, kicked once or twice. But you can see from the video, you know, one of the white guys said, "No, don't kick him. Let him go." Because you don't kick somebody when they're down. And
Jacob
the ethics,
Goodwin. Hey, real quick, Jacob, Patrick.
Yeah, and I apologize to the Goodwin family for not having remembered that, because that's a name we all have to remember. Jacob Goodwin. And, you know, there's like two or three others that are still in prison, and I never learned their names. But Jacob Goodwin in particular, his mom came on Stormfront. So, you know, was on Stormfront with her. So I feel like I should remember that name. But at any rate, Jacob Goodwin is going to wind up spending 8 years in jail for that.
Yeah.
And DeAndre Harris, all he got was like a busted lip. And then plus he got $20,000 in GoFundMe money.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. He made a rap video about bought a Charger, I think, or a Challenger. Mm-hmm. He bought an expensive sports vehicle and, you know, made hundreds of thousands on GoFundMe.
Adam Mercedes. I think the Challenger was what James Field had.
James, yeah. There's so much. There's so many facts. It's hard to keep it all straight, but no, you're right. The point is that, you know, DeAndre Harris, who attacked an old man with a maglite, just because these white boys, you know, defended the old man, and, you know, Jacob Goodwin being the leader, gave DeAndre just a little bit of a good old boy, you know, beat down to get him off that old man. You know, Goodwin's going to be 8 years in prison, and DeAndre
and beat him down, but then let him go. Didn't stomp him.
Yeah, they did.
Let him go.
They let him go. It wasn't fatal.
No, he was on the ground for like maybe all of 5 seconds.
And let's be fair.
Yeah,
I was going to say, let's be fair. I mean, you know, you're comparing this to the, you know, Ethan Liming. If these three black individuals would have just, you know, blackened his eyes or busted his ribs up a little bit and then, you know, left, I mean, that would have been overkill, but that's going to be teenage angst, you know. But no, they stomped him to death.
And are they going to get 8 years?
No,
they're not going to get If they're not being charged with murder, what's the odds that they're going to spend 8 years in prison?
Right. So let's see here. Then they get some sort of a homicide. Let's see what we got. Oh, June 2nd. Oh, by the way, the splatter ball was the type of water bead blaster that Ethan and his friends were wielding. Splatter ball. Some sort of a water-filled pellet. I don't think it's paint. At any rate, I've been hit with paint guns so many times, it's not a big deal. I mean, I've been hit with the real stuff, like the high-grade stuff. You know, playing paintball with my friends. It's just total nothing. Nothing about this warrants, you know, killing an individual. So the three suspects were being held on $1 million bail, but like the article said, they're not being charged with murder. It's going to be some grade of homicide.
So what is it? Are they being charged with what? What's the crime?
Yeah. Let's see. I'm scrolling through to see that I can get this.
Homicide charge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in other words, they're labeling it as accidental
assault or something.
Yeah. It's being charged as an accidental death, which is, you know, a basic general homicide charge instead of murder, which would be preconceived. But I mean, if a guy's laying on the ground. These three black men were not fighting for their lives. You know, this man was on the, this boy was on the ground. And so it was premeditated. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could say, well, it's spur of the moment, they got hit with a paint gun, whatever, or a water gun. But once they saw him on the ground and that he was being, you know, that he couldn't get up, you know, that's the point where you stop. These savages just kept going. So yes, it was premeditated, even if it was premeditated in just a few seconds or minutes. It wasn't like it wasn't like they were defending themselves against him.
It's, if they're stomping on him, on his chest and on his head, that is, unless you're gravely mentally retarded, you have to know that that's how you kill somebody.
Right, or you know, unless your group behavior is such that, you know, your adrenaline takes over and your instinct, you know, from hundreds or thousands of years of genetics takes over and you just, you know, you act violently as is the group behavior of these blacks.
It's a tendency. All right. Well, anything else to say about this issue before we move on?
No, I mean, I think we covered it all, man. The hypocrisy. I know Ethan Lyming's family. I mean, in the articles that I read, Ethan was not. They described him as colorblind, just wanting to be friends with everyone. Even his family is not outraged at this atrocity, and they're actually being sympathetic, you know, to the blacks that killed their son. I mean, I don't know if that's virtue signaling or what that's all about. I mean, but it almost reminds me of who was the young lady that was killed by the illegal immigrant? I think it was California, and the family was.
There was Steinle in California killed by an illegal alien, Kate Steinle. But I think the case you're talking about was in Iowa. Where the father came out and didn't want the murderer deported or something like that.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and check it.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
In California, killed by an illegal alien, Kate Steinle. But I think the case you're talking about was in Iowa,
right.
Where the father came out and didn't want the murderer deported or something like that. And I don't remember that girl's name. Kate Steinle was where the murderer had originally said that he had picked up the gun and was shooting at sea lions.
Yeah. Molly Tibbetts was in Ohio.
Tibbetts, that's right.
Yeah.
Was that Molly Ohio?
Let's see. Brooklyn, Iowa. What did I say? Ohio?
Yeah.
Brooklyn, Iowa. Yeah. Molly Tibbetts in Brooklyn, Iowa, in July of 2018. Yeah. After Tibbetts was killed, I mean, her family. You know, her dad came out of all people and advocated for immigrants and was not totally outraged, or he was putting on some sort of a show. Just disgusting. I mean, you know, you would think, you know, especially being the father, someone who's supposed to protect their daughter, to protect especially the females in their household, that this man would come out and be outraged. But no, he's going to virtue signal and advocate for these illegal immigrants. You know, in the face of his daughter being killed by this immigrant from Mexico. And you that's know, the same reaction that you had from Ethan Lyming's father.
Yeah. You know, in the immediate aftermath of something horrible, you never know what's going through people's heads in the immediate aftermath. But once enough days have gone by, people should be able to think more clearly. And if your child's been murdered, you shouldn't be showing any sympathy.
And, you know, and if you're a family that's liberal, left-wing, and you're sympathetic to people of color and immigrants, you know, maybe the father of Ethan Lyming, maybe the father of Molly Tibbetts, maybe initially they were angered and outraged. And their lawyers or their, you know, their PR representatives, whoever, you know, sort of calmed them down, talked them down and said, look, there's an overall picture that we need to portray here. We don't need this to be an anti-immigrant or an anti-black thing. And we need you to take it down a few notches. And then a few days and weeks pass by and they come to terms with that. And, you know, and their liberal training kicks in and you get this response.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so, yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. What else do we have? Something on the Capitol rioters.
Yeah. Let's see. Guy Reffitt. This was this is from businessinsider.com. A Capitol rioter sentenced to 7 years in prison was turned in by his teenage son, which broke up the family. I remember us reading about this, and he had not been sentenced yet when we covered it. Guy Reffitt was the Capitol rioter, so-called rioter, was sentenced to 7 years in prison on Monday, so 2 days ago. His son Jackson tipped off the FBI after he, Jackson, grew concerned about his father's radicalized rhetoric. Reffitt's role in the Capitol riot tore his family apart, according to his son Jackson. So just going on with this, there's some interesting nuggets in here. So his teenage son turned him into the FBI. This guy Reffitt is from Texas, Wiley, Texas, convicted of felony charges. Okay, here's the charges. Possession of a semi-automatic weapon on Capitol grounds, threatening his own children to prevent them from reporting him to law enforcement. There's another charge. There was also one where Reffitt threatened to pull Nancy Pelosi and drag her out by the heels, which I would disavow officially.
Mm-hmm.
But
we wouldn't be having these problems. We wouldn't have had to make our Tuesday night Patrick and Jeremy show if that had happened.
If Nancy Pelosi had been drug out of the Capitol and brought to justice, you know, at January 6th, yeah, we wouldn't be facing this whole Taiwan showdown where we could possibly be, you know, looking at nuclear war. So,
I just want to say though, okay, so we're looking at this article on the Business Insider, and it says that this guy, Guy Reffitt, wanted to drag Nancy Pelosi out of the Capitol by her ankles. Did you notice who wrote this? Who's a reporter who wrote this?
Let's see. Who was it indeed? Sophia Ankle.
Yes. She thinks she might just be making this up. I mean, her name is Ankle, right? Dragging her out by the ankle. Who talks about dragging somebody around by the ankles? I've never heard that. I'm just saying. But okay, so the question here is, was this guy, like, did the teenage son actually have like legitimate worries about his father? Because I hadn't heard of anybody who had a firearm at the Capitol.
Yeah, apparently he had a semi-automatic weapon. I guess that's illegal. You can't take those weapons.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino neocon cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I haven't heard of anybody who had a firearm at the Capitol.
Apparently he had a semi-automatic weapon. I guess that's illegal. You can't take those weapons. D.C. is almost its own country, pretty much, right? Like, pretty much have no rights there. But he was a part of the 3%ers, totally okay. Infiltrated by feds. Refit was. So it says after the Capitol riot, Refit returned to Texas, where he told his then 18-year-old son, Jackson, and his then 16-year-old daughter, Peyton, that they would be traitors if they turned him in. I would wholeheartedly agree. Number one, if you turn in your father, you're a traitor to your father. Like, I could never imagine any instance where I would turn my father in. Like, our family ties are strong. I mean, if dad came up to me and said, hey, Jeremy, I just killed someone, I would be like, all right, I'll get the shovel in the car, bring it around back. You grab the body and we'll take care of this. I mean, I'm not turning my dad in no matter what. That's just the way it is.
But here's a different scenario. What if your dad came and said, Jeremy, I'm about to kill someone?
Then I would stop him.
Yeah, you'd stop him. And so if you're... So I don't know. I'm not going to pass judgment on this because I don't know exactly what the kid was trying to do, who he spoke to, what he thought was going to happen.
But that's almost apples and oranges because you're talking about a man that just went to the Capitol and did a protest, the First Amendment right. And this kid turns him in for that. I mean, obviously the kid is, you know, all hyped up on the left, and he heard the, you know, he heard the mainstream media coverage of it, and it was all hyped up as an insurrection. And that's what he was responding to. I mean, it's not really, it's not even comparable to,
I mean, that's,
the dad telling the kid he's going to kill someone.
You know, for sure. I mean, that probably, that seems what it would be, but do we know that for sure? Or do we, or is it possible that the kid, it wasn't so much about what he had done at the Capitol, what the father had done at the Capitol, but that the kid was worried that he was going to do something in the future. And that's what he was trying to head off.
A lot of speculation.
I'm not in a position to know.
Yeah. A lot of speculation. But, I mean, he's not wrong. The kid would be a traitor, not only to his father, but to his country. Because the January 6th protest was legit. The election was a hoax. And everybody that went there had every right to be there. And if those people had even a fourth of the gumption of our founding fathers, they would have drugged the traitors in Congress out and brought them to justice.
Well, I mean, it would have been a very, very bad strategy, because going in there and raping AOC and hanging Pelosi wouldn't get the military to present you with the nuclear codes. You know, that's not how it
works. I didn't say anything about sexually violating old Big Booty. Okay, I'm not advocating that at all.
It's in the song. It's a line in the song, so it has to be included.
Yeah.
People who heard my May 23rd broadcast know what I'm talking about.
Well, here's another little nugget. Jackson, the son, became tipped off by the FBI in December of 2020 after becoming increasingly concerned by his father's radicalized rhetoric.
In 2020. So
the kid called the FBI December 2020.
Oh, December 2020, okay.
Jackson tipped off the FBI about his father in December of 2020, so weeks before the January 6th protest. And so I guess Jackson didn't even know his father was at the riot, but the father began posting pictures of it in a family group chat.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a private chat. So the kid... Jackson got a call from the FBI asking if his father was at the Capitol, and the kid confirmed that he was. And then the father was arrested at his home on January 19th, 2021.
So the initial contact between Jackson and the FBI was made by Jackson in December 2020.
So because of his father's rhetoric, about the election being faked. Then I guess Jackson didn't realize his father was there. The father posted some images of him being at the Capitol in a family group chat. And then the FBI called Jackson. So Jackson was an FBI informant as of December of 2020.
Okay. Well, so I don't like anything I hear. I don't like hearing about this kid turning in his father. I don't like hearing about this father being in the three percenters and wanting to drag around Pelosi and rape AOC, which maybe wasn't explicit, but it's implicit, believe me. And so basically the way I look at this is I hope that China winds up occupying the United States, because maybe they can take care of our Uyghur problem the way they took care of their Uyghur problem. Because we've got a problem with our Uyghurs.
I, for one, would welcome our Chinese overlords.
Yeah. I mean, like our Uyghurs, I mean, they're on meth. They got tattoos. You know, they're a mess. We got to do something about these Uyghurs. They got droopy drawers. They're going around thinking they're black, acting like black.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to with our Uyghurs. Maybe they can build some education centers for them.
Yeah, I think probably the structured economy of the CCP probably wouldn't do the United States any harm at this point. It would actually improve it.
You know, if they occupy us, I doubt they would really restructure our economy that much. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't I don't think they try to impose that much of their system on us, other than what is necessary in order to just maintain the occupation as long as necessary, as long as, which, you know, you if you're smart, you don't want to occupy a place permanently.
They want to make money off all around us, right?
And they're making lots of money off us the way it is, right? The way it is now. I mean, think of the avuncular character Germany, right? Back in the 1940s, he occupied France. But what did he do? He turned over at least like the bulk of it, the southern part of it, to the Vichy government, and really didn't play much role in Vichy. Just let, you know, it's kind of let the Vichy people do what they wanted. And
people still try to trim their mustache to look like old Uncle A. We're getting far afield. What have you got? What have you got left on this?
I have nothing left on this. Other than, on May 23rd, on the May 23rd broadcast, Engelbert Poindexter did a parody song of "Losing My Religion" by REM, and it was It was about the Oath Keepers and the Three Percenters, really. How retarded they were on that day. Not that, I mean, everybody had the right to be mad about what was going on, but the idea that you were going to go in and do whatever, tie up Nancy Pelosi, and somehow that was going to overthrow the government. It's not. That's not how it works. Right. And part of their plan, at least I don't know about the three percenters, but the Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, part of his plan was to declare war on China. Hey, if we want to declare war on China, why do you need to tie up Pelosi? Send her over.
She's doing that right
by
now.
Herself. Biden's doing it.
Stuart Rhodes was a Fed. I mean, that's confirmed, federal informant.
Yeah.
Out of his own mouth. I mean, all these groups are. So let's get into another topic and maybe. Just as a side topic, not in the prep, what about these red flag laws? I mean, that's exactly, this is an extreme, you know, condition, an example. But I mean, how could this take off where young people who are liberalized, you know, could turn in their own families just because of some right wing political rhetoric? Mm-hmm. You know, and how is this going to play into stopping good American patriots from having legally obtaining guns under the red flag laws? I mean, wouldn't that be a good example?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the red flag laws obviously have the potential to be abused probably a lot more than they would be used. The way things are now, if you know somebody who is a threat to himself or others, you can try to have the person committed to a mental institution. If they're a threat to themselves and others, then they should be committable. And so you can, I don't know what the procedure is called, but you can, call the police and you go to court or, you know, sometimes you'll have a judge. The judge will be at the mental institution, but you can have, the police come. And if the police think that this person seems to be a threat, if they agree that he's a threat to himself and others, then he'll be taken down. And then within a day or so, there's going to be a hearing in front of a judge to determine whether this person is a threat and should be committed. And then there are procedures for that. And that, you know, that takes the person away from his weapons by taking him away from his home. And I mean, that exists. That system is there now. The red flag laws just make this into like a kind of like fast food type of efficiency. You don't have to go through that judge. You don't have to go through the, you know, well, I mean, I guess you call the police, but basically it puts the, the accusation is enough. There doesn't have to be a hearing. And, yeah. You know, at these hearings, like the commitment hearings, the person has defenders, and the defenders, it's I mean, I have been at a commitment hearing before, and the defenders, at least the one I was at, went way out of her way to defend. She was kind of being a real jerk, in my opinion, because I thought it was open and shut. This guy was so much of a danger to himself. But anyway, yeah, the red flag laws just make it way too easy. There's already a system in place.
Mm-hmm. For political views that we express here on RBN, any one of our families could contact the FBI and get a case started on us under these laws. That's, you know, that's basically the point that I'm making.
Yeah. And, you know, under current law, if these people tried to turn us in and have like a commitment hearing on us, there's no way we would be committed. I mean, we haven't sunk that far. Like, from my experience and from everything I know, a normal person like you or I is not going to get committed just because somebody says, oh, he's a threat to himself or the neighbor. But the way these red flag laws are written, there would be a fairly substantial period of time. I mean, I guess you can file to get your guns back, but there would be a substantial period of time where just the accusation would deprive you of your weapons. And forget liberals. Let's just say you've got a plot against somebody. You just want to disarm somebody temporarily so that you can do whatever you need to do, right? You know, I don't know if it would really be abused that way, but potentially.
Well, and here's my thing: why does the FBI have to be involved? I mean, why can't just the local sheriff, who knows everybody, who is you know constitutionally elected, if you got a problem with someone in your neighborhood or your community, you know, notify the local sheriff, let the sheriff go have a talk with him and assess this individual. And the sheriff might be like, oh, that's just crazy old John. He's been talking like that since Carter lost back in 1980. I mean, it might be something that simple. When the feds get involved, I mean, they obviously, the FBI has a motive, and that is to crack down on, you know, white American patriots.
Well, they do now. And that's completely obvious. I had a neighbor who was in a mental institution, and at some point I got contacted by, actually it was Secret Service, and they said, does so-and-so possess weapons and guns? And I said, I'm pretty sure no. As far as I know, no. And it was because this person in the mental institution was going around saying he wanted to shoot President Clinton. But of course, it wasn't going to happen. This person wasn't really a violent person. And I don't think he said he wanted to shoot President Clinton. He just said somebody should shoot President Clinton. And, you know,
there was an incident.
Yeah.
Similar to that, Pastor Stephen Anderson out of Faith the Word Baptist in Arizona, when Obama was president, Anderson was preaching hard against Obama. And basically, I think he was making the case that I'll pull up the article on the other side of the break to get it exactly, but
we're not doing breaks today. We're just plowing.
You know, Anderson was like, well, according to the Bible, you know, people that would advocate for these types of policies in the Old Testament will get the death penalty. And Secret Service made a little call to Pastor Anderson, and he very similar situation to what you just described.
Yeah.
So just stuff that you're preaching from the pulpit.
And, you know, that's something that's reasonable. The thing is, we already have, say, between commitment laws, between these Secret Service following up on threats that are made, you know, we've already, to me, that's all reasonable. And there's no need for something like red flag laws. The red flag laws, they're not filling a need. They're not filling in a hole that needs to be filled in. They're simply providing the potential for massive abuse.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's. Yeah, I just think that's the case that you have here with this Capitol January 6th protester. I think the system abused him. But
okay, so here's because we're out of the prep, but there's something else I wanted to bring up, and we just have a few more minutes. But Nick Fuentes on his show recently was saying that Trump insiders are saying that if Trump is, if he comes back into the White House,
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Trump insiders are saying that if Trump is, if he comes back into the White House, that he is, what is he? Is it the government? Is it Schedule F or something? He is going to dismiss, fire about 50,000 federal employees. You know, typically there's about, I don't know, the figure Nick Fuentes was using was about 4,000. There's like about 4,000, 4 to 5,000 political appointees, people who are you know, obviously the secretaries of state and all that, but also undersecretaries, deputy secretaries, assistant deputy secretaries, just a whole bunch of political appointees. And I think it is something somewhere around 4,000 or 5,000. But below them, there's a lot of people who are relatively high-level permanent bureaucracy that don't get replaced from administration to administration, who are supposedly not politicized, but obviously we can tell from recent experience they are politicized. And so maybe this is just kind of wishful thinking. I mean, Trump, he did come in on day one and fire Victoria Nuland on his inauguration day, but there was obviously he did not drain the swamp, and all those swamp creatures destroyed his presidency. And, you know, the question has always been, you know, regarding a possible Trump comeback is, has Trump learned lessons? And certainly the first year or so, it seemed like he hadn't learned any lessons. I don't know. What do you think of that? Have you heard anything about that? What do you think of the prospect of Trump coming back with a vengeance? Is there any, do you see any indications that there's been any learning that's gone on in the Trump brain?
Yes. I don't know that it's learning in the positive mode. I think Trump maybe would learn how to play the system a little better. I know that, you know, in 2020, he got a lot more support from, you know, mainstream Republicans, a lot of people who were never Trumpers, a lot of the Israel Firster conservatives, and he got a lot more support of them. He lost support in the alt-right. Now, I absolutely do not believe that Trump lost the election because he lost support in the alt-right. That's just a sliver of the electorate. Trump lost. Trump did not lose the election. We don't know who won the election because it was all a hoax. But what we do know is that record numbers of white people came out and voted in the wake of the BLM Summer of Love and all of the COVID stuff. Even though Trump did push the vax, I mean, he was seen as sort of someone who was more moderate COVID measures, or even maybe even anti-COVID measures. You know, he certainly didn't push the mask and all of that. So I think people responded to that, and he got a record amount of people that turned out. But a lot of, you know, conservatard, you know, Rush Limbaugh types and even Hannity types voted for Trump that didn't in 2016. And so I think that if, number one, I don't think he's getting back in. But if he did, I think he would try to cater to them. I don't think he would come in and drain the swamp. I think it would be even worse than the first 4 years that he did. And that he would try to, bring his rhetoric down a little bit and cater more to these mainstream conservatives, because I think that he's learned that that's what gets him more support.
Okay, well, we have plenty of time to look and see, and we'll see what we get. All right, well, I want to thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. Stay classy, my friend.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.